is not just a movie. It's what really happened. And it's for us to reflect and remember and remind ourselves how much Jesus suffered and died. How much it cost him. Everything. Just for our salvation. Just for you and for me. So that we could walk in freedom. We know we are remembering Good Friday, this coming Friday, where both Christians here and all over the world will be remembering the cross, the suffering of Jesus. But let it not be just a one-day remembrance. But we always carry on us the suffering of Jesus, the cross. That's what Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Because it's the cross that's the ultimate message of salvation. It's where everything comes to fulfillment. It's at the cross of Jesus Christ. Recently, Jenny and I were in Israel. We had the privilege of being invited to tour Israel, and we took this walk. The way of the cross, it's called, the way to Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified. And all along that journey, we remembered every event that took place. As the place has been marked by a church, or there is a sign that shows what Jesus went through whilst on that journey to the cross. That's a very somber moment. Just the thought of knowing that here we were walking this road, this path that Jesus walked 2,000 years ago to that cross when he gave his life for you and for me. None of us, no one can imagine the agony that Jesus was enduring. That he endured just for us. Because it was for that purpose that Jesus came. Let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 27. Jesus here is speaking and he says this. He says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And a voice came from heaven saying, I have been glorified. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Praise God. God said, I will glorify you again. I've glorified it already. Talking about the death and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And Father says, I will glorify it again. For this purpose, Jesus said, he came. Jesus was the real thing. He was a real person. His death and his resurrection, his burial was real. There is evidence to show that. There's evidence to prove that. Hallelujah. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. There are no relics. There are no bones. There are no ashes. Because Jesus rose again. Good Friday follows, or Easter Sunday follows Good Friday. Hallelujah. The devil could not keep Jesus in the tomb. He overcame the power of sin and death. And because he overcame, you and I are overcomers today. Because he overcame, you and I are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved us. Because he overcame, you and I can face tomorrow because Jesus lives. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that God holds my future. Nobody else but God holds your future. And that's why life is worth living, because Jesus is alive, no more in the tomb. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 7, it says this, "For by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set free." By the way, my title for the message is Redemption and Forgiveness Through the Blood of Jesus. Very simple title. But they're so powerful. We cannot escape talking about the blood of Jesus. Neither can we escape talking about the redemptive work of the cross of Calvary. So that's my title. Verse 7 of Ephesians 1 says, "For by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God." Hallelujah. Amen. "By the blood of Jesus we are set free. Our sins are forgiven. How great is the great grace of God." When we have forgiveness of sins, we have redemption, which means to buy back. To redeem is to buy something back that is precious. In other words, Jesus did on the cross, by shedding his blood for us, he bought us back, or he ransomed us from the influence of Satan over our lives. That's what he did. He bought us back. He paid that price. He redeemed us. You know, the death of Jesus points to two awesome things, two wonderful things. One is redemption. That's to buy back. The second one is forgiveness. And forgiveness is when you come to a place where you do not hold any claim against anybody else, where you let go completely. Redemption was the price that Jesus paid to release us from the slavery to sin. In some cultures, we still find this, where if a man wants to marry someone's daughter, they have to pay the bride price. Have you heard of that? In some cultures, it is still there. They got to pay the bride price, or a dowry, as we call it in our country. Jesus, our bridegroom, paid the price for us, his bride, the bride of Jesus Christ. He paid the price. And because he paid the price, he redeemed us. He set us free. He owns us. We are his people. We are his bride. We are his children. Can you see that? Yeah. He paid that price. We are no longer slaves, but we are children of the living God. I remember that song, "I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God." Praise God, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are children of God. We are children of God. Say, "I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a child of God." Praise his holy name. Forgiveness has been freely given through the blood of Jesus. We have been pardoned freely with no strings attached. No conditions laid down for our salvation, except that we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, except that we receive his blood as the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. No strings attached. In the Old Testament times, read this in Leviticus chapter 17. People had to sacrifice animals, and the shedding of animals' blood was the basis for forgiveness. It says in verse 11 of Leviticus 17, "The life of each creature is in its blood. So I have given you the blood of animals to pay for your sin on the altar." Blood is life. That is why blood pays for your sin. In the New Testament, Jesus was the ultimate blood sacrifice for our sin. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 15. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 15. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. Hebrews chapter 9. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. So he was not created. Jesus was not of this creation. But he was there from the beginning because he was God. That's what it means. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Say, eternal redemption. Say it again. Eternal redemption. Is it temporary? No, it's eternal. The redemption that Jesus obtained for us by approaching the Father, presenting his blood as a perfect sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus was the most perfect, sinless Lamb of God. There was no one else who could claim that they were sinless. No one else could claim that they were perfect except Jesus. Because he was the perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God. And you need something perfect to counteract imperfection. Don't you? You need something perfect to counteract imperfection. Something clean to counteract uncleanness. And Jesus was this. And so he said, once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God or without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant, not made with hands, not of this creation, no, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, obtaining eternal redemption for you and for me. And verse 13 says, that if the blood of goats and calves sprinkled on people made them clean and pure, how much more with the blood of Jesus, shall the blood of Jesus cleanse us? He offered himself without spot to God. How much more will he cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Because Jesus, he's the only mediator. He's the only go-between of a better covenant with the promise of eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how much Jesus paid for us on the cross of Calvary. He is the mediator. There's no one else who can mediate on your behalf and on my behalf except Jesus, because he paid with his blood. So the question is, what has Jesus' blood done for us? Now this is some that I have listed here, but there is so much more. And if you went through everything, we'll be here for a long time. But some of the key points that I wanted to make a note of is here. What has the blood of Jesus done for us? He has set us free. The blood of Jesus has set us free and forgiven our sins. Ephesians 1:7. That's what we read. The blood of Jesus has set us free and forgiven our sins. The second one is the blood of Jesus has made us right with God. Romans 5 and verse 8 to 11 tells us this. But here is how God has shown his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you know something? When Christ died for us, there was no guarantee that everyone would come to know Jesus. Even in the time of Jesus, not everybody who came and saw Jesus came to know him as their Lord and Savior, even in his time. But still, Jesus was willing, even with no guarantees, other than somebody who comes to him and calls upon him, then there's a guarantee that they will be saved. The word says, they that call upon the Lord shall be saved. But for those who do not call upon the Lord, they will not be saved. That even so, Jesus was willing to die while we were yet and still sinners. Christ died. And verse 9 tells us this, the blood of Christ has made us right with God. Hallelujah. Yes. The blood of Christ has made us right. We are on the right side with God. We are in the kingdom of light. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The blood of Christ has brought us into right standing because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Can you see that? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The third one is, the blood of Jesus has saved us from God's anger. Verse 9, as it continues, says, so we are even surer that Jesus will save us from God's anger. Verse 10, once we were God's enemies. If you read Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about that we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were alienated, walking, groping around in our own sinful state. But God found us. We were enemies of God. God's anger was against us. But the blood of Jesus took care of that. Hallelujah. And today Jesus calls us his friend. What's the next thing that the blood of Jesus has done for us? Has brought us back to him and made us secure. The blood of Jesus brought us back to the Father and made us secure. But we have been brought back to him because his Son has died for us. Now that God has brought us back, we are even more secure. Hallelujah. If we felt we were secure before, and now, because of the blood of Jesus, we are even more secure. Hallelujah. It can't get tighter than that. Can't get more secure than that. The blood of Jesus brings the ultimate security that you and I require, that we need to walk this earth with the power of Jesus, to walk this earth with a spring in our step, with a song in our heart, to know that no matter what temptations lurk along the way, no matter what situations face us in life, because of the blood of Jesus, that once and for all sacrifice of Jesus, you and I are able to face this world, face this life, face every situation because of his blood. And the moment we say, in the name of Jesus, I declare the blood of Jesus Christ, I declare his blood has cleansed me, his blood protects me, his blood saves me, his blood keeps me, his blood is the blood of Jesus that gives me life. I tell you, every demon in hell trembles, every demonic thing has to go, because the power of the blood of Jesus, when he died on the cross, the earth split, there was earthquake, that veil was torn in two. You know, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but it became dark. That was how nature responded to the awesome power of the name of Jesus. When he died on the cross of Calvary, nature itself could not keep quiet, but had to respond to the awesome power that was demonstrated on that cross. When Jesus rose again from the grave as well, the earth again responded. Hallelujah. Because of the awesome power of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What else has the blood of Jesus done for us? He has brought us salvation. We know that we will be saved because Christ lives. And that is not all. We know that we will be saved because Christ lives, and that is not all. Verse 11. His blood has brought us joy. Hallelujah. His blood has brought us joy. We are full of joy in God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of him, God has brought us back to himself. brought near by the blood, bringing the whole universe back to himself. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 says this, but now in union with Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 20 says this, through the Son then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. Not just us, but the whole universe was brought back to God because of Jesus Christ. The word says that everything is in him. Everything was for him. Everything is it contains him, Jesus Christ, in everything. It was Jesus. From the beginning of time, right up to now, right up from everlasting to everlasting, Jesus' power never fails, never changes. Can always rely on the name of Jesus. What else has the blood of Jesus done for us? His blood has made peace for us. Hallelujah. His blood has made peace for us. Colossians 1, 19 to 20 says this, God was pleased to have all of himself live in Christ. God was also pleased to bring everything on earth and in heaven and back to himself through Christ. He did this by making peace through Christ's blood sacrificed on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross and brought us back to himself. To himself, all things, both on earth and in heaven. Everything has been brought together in Jesus Christ. You know, that's why nations are against Jesus. So many organizations are against Jesus. We find in various countries that Christians are being persecuted. Follow the Barnabas Trust. And if you have links with the Barnabas Foundation, you will see what's happening in some parts of the world where people are being brutalized for the gospel of Jesus. Churches are being burnt because they are Christians. And that tells me that there's something living, there's something powerful about the name of Jesus. People will never tamper with something that is dead. There's no life in something, why go kicking it? People will always attack something that is alive. And I believe it's because Christ is alive in the church. Amen. He's alive in people. Yeah. Yeah. That when they shine for Jesus, it has an impact on people's lives, and some don't like it. Because they know that the moment they encounter Jesus, something's going to change. Praise God. That is how powerful the name of Jesus is. His blood has made peace for us. And the last point of this, again, is not an exhaustive list. There's much more. What has the blood of Jesus done for us? We have been made clean because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:22. It says this, Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be made clean with his blood. Without the spilling of blood, no one can be forgiven. No one can be forgiven. In the Old Testament times, the priest used to sprinkle the sacrificed lamb, the blood of the lamb that was sacrificed on people, on the cleansing the temple, cleansing the utensils. Priests used to do that, to cleanse the people, to cleanse the temple, to cleanse the utensils. But you and I have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has made us clean. It's not according to the law, the requirements of the law, because Christ overcame the law. Hallelujah. That's why he said, now I give you a new commandment, that in communion. It's a new beginning. It's a new commandment. It's a new thing that Jesus birthed for us and paid for us on the cross of Calvary. That's why we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. He was the final Passover lamb. He was the last lamb. That's why he said, you will not eat of this fruit or drink of this wine anymore until you see me in the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Because he was the bread. He was the wine. That was the last time that they would have that, the Passover lamb. Because he was and is the Passover lamb. Hallelujah. He was there at the beginning of time. And he's there from everlasting to everlasting. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. From all sin. What an amazing gospel. What an amazing message we have for people today. People are running hither and thither, trying to find salvation, trying to find something to appease themselves, their sin somehow. And here Jesus willingly given it for us, given his blood for us. It says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. And all we have to do is say, Jesus, I thank you for your blood that cleanses me. I close with this scripture from 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. It says this, your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of the dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid. He paid with Christ's sacred blood. You know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it was only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrifice Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. It is because of this Jesus Christ, who was raised from death to life and glorified, that we know and trust the Father. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his amazing grace. That's why the writer to that song, Amazing Grace, recognized and realized the amazing grace of Jesus that saved a wretched man that he was. Saved us from Satan's power of sin and death and set us free to live a life, the freedom that comes in Jesus. Jesus has called us to live an abundant life, a fulfilled life. Grace is what? Grace is God's voluntary gift, his loving favor that has been given to those he saves. We cannot earn it, nor do we deserve God's grace. No religious or moral effort can gain it for us, for it comes only by God's mercy and love. What is mercy? Mercy is to show compassion, is to show love, is to show forgiveness to someone who does not deserve punishment. Someone who deserves punishment. It's when you show compassion, mercy, and love, forgiveness, you're showing mercy to someone who deserves to be punished. That's what God showed us through Christ Jesus. We deserve to be punished, but God chose mercy. Today, Jesus loves you. Jesus has an amazing plan for your life. And only Jesus can go to those places where it has hurt you the most. And only he can turn those things around for good. Only Jesus can save you from your sin. And he can surround you with his love. He can surround you with his power. It's only Jesus who died for you on that cross. It's only Jesus who rose again for you, conquering the grave. The question is, will you trust Jesus? Will you trust him with all your heart? Will you trust Him with all your strength? Will you trust Him with all your mind? Will you trust Him with your life? Will you trust Jesus this morning? No matter what you and I go through in life, are we still willing to trust in Jesus? Let's stand together. Today's Palm Sunday. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's just focus on what Jesus, what he really meant, what he means to us. Take a moment just to say thank you, Jesus. Jesus, he bore those. He was lashed 39 times. Roman law dictated that they were not allowed to lash 40 because that would kill the person. So 39 was it. And I was hearing recently someone explaining that. And the whips they used were not these ordinary whips that you see. There were whips of leather. Tethered onto the leather were bits of bone and glass and metal and nails and things that once discharged on your body would take off the flesh. I heard this preacher saying that when they whipped the person 13 times on the right shoulder, 13 on the left, and 13 on the back. And that whipping actually dislocated their bones, dislocated their joints. Literally broke their back. So when people were nailed to the cross, they died because of asphyxia. They couldn't breathe because they couldn't hold their body up. It would just collapse. Jesus bore 39 stripes. His flesh was torn. His head was pierced. He loved us. He said, for this purpose I have come. He said, God, shall I ask you to take me out from this hour? He said, no, because for this purpose I came. In the garden, Jesus prayed, God, if it is your will, take this cup away. Nevertheless, not mine, but let your will be done. Jesus, he stands today. He knocks on our hearts. hearts do. Can anyone refuse such an awesome Savior? He's done so much for us. And all in return, Jesus warns us that we love Him, we serve Him. We obey His voice, we obey His word. In John's Gospel 15, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will. The Father will give it. So God, we thank you today. And as you remember the last few days of your life here on earth, God, we are so thankful that you are willing to endure the suffering, the shame, the humiliation. You are willing, oh God, you are willing, Jesus. Lord, this day we recognize how much you loved us and how much you still love us. We thank you, Lord. We appreciate you, Jesus. We appreciate your love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God, as we go out from here, the people will see the love of Jesus in our lives. And we will not be able to contain this message that brings salvation and deliverance and freedom. But, oh God, we'll be able to share it wherever we are. Good news of the gospel. Let's sing this song. We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
Lamb is overcome.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Come on, let's sing it.
We sing hallelujah.
Straight to his heart.
The Lamb is overcome.